Thank you so much, Judy. Thank you so much. And Judy has some of her wonderful pottery in the back you can look at the intermission. So thank you so much. And Anne?
Well, I feel like I'm in really illustrious company here, all these great artists. And it just struck me while I was listening to that first talk that part of what I want to talk about is our connection to the earth and to ourselves and to our ancestors. And she was talking about that beautiful connection she had with her grandfather. And I was thinking back, you know, that I kind of didn't have that much of a connection with my grandparents, or at least I didn't feel like they were these wise old figures to me, you know. And maybe they really were, I don't know, but I didn't have that experience. But I feel like more that I had to look a little further afield for my ancestors, and that's something maybe we don't do enough, that we really need to realize, like, that even if you just think about it from the scientific point of view, everything is our ancestor, because everything has been, you know, this air that we're breathing right now, our ancestors were breathing it, you know, or maybe it actually is our ancestor that we're breathing, you know, it's that long ago, you know, or this water right here was, you know, in the age of the dinosaurs. I know that's kind of a stereotypical thing to bring it back to, but it's true, right? That water has been recycled all this time. And so that's something that I've been trying to, like, focus on and thinking back. So Priscilla Stuckey, who's back here in the corner selling her amazing book, which I just read, told this great story about how, because I was thinking, well, how far back does this go? Like, why are we here where we are, that our ancestors didn't teach us the right things to do, and then we're in this, you know, terrible mess? And so there was this great story about how, well, even as far back as the Roman Empire, which I'm sure nobody would hold that up as a paragon of virtue, but an interesting fact that I never knew about it was, that I never really thought about, was, you know, they had in the Colosseum, they had these gladiators come in and fight each other for entertainment and things. Well, part of that was they would bring in wild animals from the countryside, thousands of them. So, I mean, there was one event where they, I think, slaughtered 5,000 animals in the Colosseum during this event. And so, at the end of the Roman Empire, all of North Africa was devoid of wild elephants, which they had been indigenous there before. And also, what else did I read? That the lions and tigers, which had kept in check the wild goats of that area, were decimated because they'd all been killed in the Colosseum. And so there was actually a plague of the wild goats, who pretty much ate everything in sight and causing, you know, massive erosion, which basically contributed to the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, not surprisingly. And so that was a really fascinating story to me, and I was really happy to, because I just hadn't heard that particular thing. I'd heard lots of things about the Roman Empire, but not that one in particular. And so I was thinking, you know, the way to go with that is, like, it is to just remember that we're connected, because this non-connection goes back so far in our culture. And so I've been trying personally to have this practice where I just, you know, everything, I mean, even, you know, this, the car I drove here in, even, everything was once something else. You know, it was once, whether it was plants that turned into oil under the ground, you know, over millions of years that's now in my gas tank, you know, out there. And just this practice, though, of thinking, this air I'm breathing, this water I'm drinking, this body that I am, it's all part of the past. I'm a part of it. And that, I feel like, is what we really need to get to, that kind of feeling, that kind of understanding, if we're really going to change the way that we're treating this earth, you know, keeping it at a distance, like it's separate, it's something else, and we can just use it as a resource and then throw it away when we're done with it. So that's what I've really been focusing on. And part of that, I've been studying animal tracking recently, and so I wrote something, it's called The Tracker's Pledge of Allegiance. So I'll start with that. I pledge allegiance to the tooth marks of the United Burrows of Beavers. I pledge allegiance to the scent of the United Federations of Foxes. I pledge allegiance to the page of the illuminated earth of elk, the scroll of soil where the walkers leave their marks, and to the ecosystem in which it stands, and to the multiplicity on which it depends. Many nations of long-legged heron steps, many nations of zigzag mouse prints, under sky, under rain, indivisible, with awe and poetry for all. So that's a way in which I'm just trying to use my poetry to help us make that connection. And it's not that I'm trying to use my poetry. See, that sounds like my poetry is a resource, okay? It's hard. These things go deep, you know, these ways of thinking. Yeah. So one thing that helps, I find, is paying attention. I've been teaching some classes with teenage girls, sort of teaching them nature skills and taking them out in nature and getting them used to seeing what's out there. And it's really great because, you know, we certainly teach them things, but more often they just teach us, like, how to have a good time, you know, and have a lot of fun out there. And it's really about attention. So, like, what are they putting their attention on? Fun, you know, and that's not a bad thing. Because you can let all this kind of bring you to a point of despair, and that isn't helpful either if you stay there, you know. So one of the things that has to do with water that I was paying attention to was up in Santa Fe recently, actually yesterday, there's some women who walked the entire length of the Santa Fe River. Maybe some of you know about that, the year before last. And so yesterday there was just a short segment of the river. We walked from basically where the bypass crosses the river, 599, down to the sewage treatment plant, which was really beautiful and eye-opening because we walked down. Right now it's completely dry, which is pretty normal, I think, for this time of year, but really dry. So we're just walking down this dry river where many people have dumped, you know, their whole living room full of furniture that they didn't need anymore right there. And then we come, after a couple of miles, to the water treatment plant where, you know, all that water that we've flushed down our toilet, down our sink, without thinking, you know, every day, without thinking that this is my ancestor piece, you know. It's gone down, we've washed our paint brushes, whatever we've done, and there it is. It's coming out of the sewage treatment plant and going back into the river. And that was just that was that thing about connection. It was like, so now, like, I've seen that. I don't know, very few people probably who live in Santa Fe have actually seen that point where it all goes back into the dry river. And I feel like that's such an important thing that we've got to be connected with and do and see what's happening to our water, where it's coming from. You know, it's like now we're getting it from the Buckman diversion below Los Alamos, you know, and we know that's not such a good idea. That's a whole other thing. I don't even have time to get into it. But so part of my journey has really been figuring out how I can bring this home to myself, my own body, so that I can live that way and give whatever gift I have to the world that I'm here to give. And so so on that note, I'd like to read a poem called Journey to My Own Body. I was on a journey to my own body, plodding through vast shopping malls and housing tracts. I kept building in my own way. I could hear the scouring rush of my own blood coursing down a culvert. I plowed through dumpsters and dissected mountain ranges, looking for my body. No one knew when it had been born or where it had gone. We'd had a fight a few millennia back, and I'd been slogging through the outback ever since. I'd imagine I caught sight of it, rising as a whalebone of a ridge, a row of hills like an elephant's spine, mud pools round as hippo hooves. But close up, these would turn out to have hair, and I'd think, that can't be my body, and I'd go on. I stumbled over a post-streak meteor lying dead outside the city. Then I thought I'd found my thumbnail, but it turned out to be a plastic garbage lid. My eyelids grew heavy, but I couldn't see them because they were my eyelids. I remember the day I found my tears. I came to a cliff edge, saw them spread out below, 1,000 silver discs in white sandstone. They were cold. I was tired, flagged a passing oil truck, hitched a ride to Cairo. There were no maps, and the Seventh-day Adventists could tell me nothing. But suddenly, I remembered trees. I remembered crawling on my hands and knees, looking for my hands and knees. I realized, hey, these are my hands and knees. They were pocked with gravel, calloused and cracked. They led to fingers, feet, and toes. I counted them, took a bearing, and struck inland from there. Thank you. So I don't know how much time I have. Okay, maybe I'll just do like two short ones and finish off that way. How does that sound? Okay. So first I'll go with, this one's called Welcoming the Bear. This is about welcoming in your dreams, kind of. Welcoming the Bear. Go down into the wreck. If the grizzly sow is there, meet her eye. Let her in the front door. Don't just wish you were there. Don't just buy the t-shirt. Open the windows. Let the blueberry pie draw her in. Let her swallow it whole. Offer livers and kidney pies, a handful of bird hearts, a gut full of fat. Lay out a round tray of cashews, beech nuts, bay nuts, almonds, and apricots. Strip the bed and scatter it with autumn leaves, still wet from shade. Tear down the curtains, break the rod, smash the skunk skull, the one with the talon marks of the great horned owl. Take the sweet potatoes out of the fridge, shovel them onto the grass. Ask what the sun has to tell you before dawn. The wren tit sings alone in its nest of poison oak. The weight of the bear sinks onto her paw and marks the wet earth. Turn to make the offering. Your own eyes, your own liver, your own lungs. You are destroying them anyway. So can I finish with one short one? Okay. So here's a very short one that I really wanted to end on. It's called Reliable Pollinators Wanted. I feel like a plant suffering limited fruit set from too few visits by effective pollinators. I need someone with a cup for a tongue, baskets on her legs, bottle openers on her feet. I need to be shaken up by a vibrating bee, not one that steals the pollen and runs so I can't make seeds. Some plants self-pollinate, not I. I need someone to land on my keel petals and manipulate their wings. I need someone who will perch on my stigma for yellow hours and groom her pollen-covered self. Someone who will get up early and visit no other species but mine. Thank you.